AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Congressional leaders have reached a deal on $1.6 trillion in federal spending ahead of two key deadlines to avert a government shutdown. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
We'll have to see major agreements, really from top to bottom, in pieces of the government. And that means that the Republicans in the House and the Democrats in the Senate and, of course, the White House, which is in Democratic hands, will somehow have to come together on a lot of specifics on which they deeply disagree.
This plan is separate from negotiations to secure more funding for Israel, Ukraine, and the U.S. border. There are still a lot of questions about Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's health, but even bigger concerns now over a delay in telling the White House and the Pentagon about his hospitalization. Former Vice President Mike Pence was on CNN.
I think it was a dereliction of duty, and the secretary and the administration, frankly, need to step forward and give the American people the facts.
Former President Trump says he should be fired. A storm system that blanketed much of the Northeast has now killed at least one driver in Massachusetts and made a mess of roads and highways. Connecticut's clearing about a foot of snow. Samaya Hernandez is with the State's Department of Transportation.
We have more than 700 trucks out, our white and orange plows out, clearing the roads across Connecticut. We were seeing more accumulation in the northern part of our state.
Parts of New York got about 14 inches. And in Florida, a tornado knocked out power to people in Fort Lauderdale. No one was hurt there. The FAA has grounded a fleet of Boeing airplanes now until they can guarantee passenger safety after a window blew out during Alaska Airlines flight. Safety expert Tricia Ferguson.
The FAA came out with what's referred to as an emergency airworthiness directive, which is much more than just a suggestion to inspect the Boeing 737 MAX 9.
The NTSB is also looking for that missing plane part near Portland. The Golden Globes are just getting started now in Hollywood. Our Danya Backus is in L.A., and she gives a preview of the menu there tonight.
Chef Nobu Matsuhisa and his team of 25 experienced chefs are preparing to serve some of the biggest names in Hollywood.
This is like a Golden Globe, the biggest event in Los Angeles.
He gave a sneak peek of the planned dinner menu, including salmon tartare, sashimi salad, and a signature dish, black cod miso.
You can watch that show now on CBS. You could also stream it live on Paramount Plus. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Climate change is making cities hotter. In Milwaukee, a new project is making public school playgrounds cooler. Here's Mike Mohn.
Dozens of public schools in Milwaukee are working with the nonprofit Reflow on swapping out playground asphalt with green infrastructure, including more trees and native plants. Reflow's Lisa Neeb says there are environmental benefits such as reduced stormwater runoff, and it gives students more refuge on hot days.
There's often not very many areas of shade, if any, on these urban schoolyards. There's not a lot of things to naturally do.
Beyond providing a better atmosphere for physical activity, Neeb says these spaces create opportunities for outdoor learning. The program was recently highlighted by the National Wildlife Federation, which says green schoolyards also are good for pollinators. Organizers help schools secure grants to facilitate the projects, but officials say it's a challenge to secure enough funding to meet demand. Neve says her team is working with medical researchers to collect data on how these transformed spaces impact student behavior. She says the pandemic delayed that aspect of the program, but notes anecdotal information from school administrators offers hope.
Behavior referrals go down, injuries go down, and kids are more productive in their play.
Broader research has linked access to green space with positive health benefits, including cognitive development in school children. Reflow says so far it has partnered with 41 Milwaukee schools, with half of those projects already completed. And Neeb says they have a selection process that focuses on equity so that disadvantaged schools aren't left behind in seeking resources. This is Mike Mohn for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR. And on the Civic Media app.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Wisconsin Rapids weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, look for mostly cloudy skies and a low near 23. Clouds on your Monday, breezy 33, and still breezy for Monday night with some snow likely, an inch or so of accumulation and a low of 29. Tuesday, more snow, a few more inches possible. It's 30 at our studios.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this January 7th, 2024, Session 44. Our first of the new year, Seth.
Oh, my gosh.
Ah.
This is over a year now since we started the show. And we're in, I'm shutting down. My brain can't get around it, man.
I put him on the spot. That's my
fault. No, it's all right.
We asked the best listeners in radio to welcome to the WFHR stage local talent, amazing writer, singer, and third place finisher of the 2023 Hoosels Rise to Music Singing Competition, our great friend, Jordan Bain.
Hello.
Hey, Jordan. How you doing, man?
Great. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks so much for being here again. I'm really happy we were able to make this work. I am a little surprised it happened within the time frame because between our schedules, bro, I don't know how we're going to do this. I'm really happy to have you here. Before we dive into an update and find out how your summer was, some of that, I want to talk about Hoosels. What was that experience like? What did you take from that wonderful event?
Yeah, I first of all just want to say thank you to everyone who was part of that event. It was a great, great experience, a great thing for all local artists in Wisconsin who want to showcase their talents and network. So that was a big part of it for me, was just the experience of, first of all, being able to sing in front of some of these judges. And they did a great job this year of getting some judges from, you know, like Nashville. And it was really a cool experience to hear them give their feedback to these different artists, including myself. It meant a lot. And then to get to network with some of these other artists from around the area was huge too. And just, we were all, it was a great vibe. We were all kind of cheering each other on, you know. It was very, very friendly, very fun, and, just a really great experience. And then I got to go sing the national anthem at a Rafters game here in town. That was wild. That was probably the most pressure I've ever felt on any performance. Like you have to nail that song,
right?
Yeah, you can't not nail that song. But that was a cool experience, too. So, just really, really wonderful.
So you've never done anything like that before, the national anthem, something like that?
Not that, no. I mean, and it's funny, you know, I sing in front of people all the time in bars and things like that. But if it's just a cover song or even your own song, you don't have to nail it. But I've just seen so many videos of, like, the infamous ones of Fergalicious or Roseanne Barr.
Carl Lewis is the one that stands out to me.
Right.
It's because he was such an amazing athlete. And I don't think I've ever seen many people that were as talented as he was. But you ask him to throw a baseball or sing the national anthem, and it's like, no, he's me doing it. It's interesting. That also seems like not only an added pressure to it, but also certainly the depth of the song. You know, you don't have to be overly patriotic for it to hit you.
Yeah, it's a meaningful song. And I mean, in reality, when I got there and thought about it on the day, I'm like, well, everyone's just kind of eager to watch their baseball game. They don't actually care that much about how I do. They don't know me. I was all in my head before the performance. I was like, okay, because I don't have an instrument with you either to keep you in key or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, and I was thinking, okay, when I get to the high note for the land of the free, I'm like, my voice can't crack when I hit that note. Yeah. It has to be strong and hit it. So I'm thinking about, okay, where do I need to start the song? And I started it in a lower register so that by the time I got to the high part, it wasn't so high. Nice. My voice could hit it.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very smart. Very smart man.
I got to, some years back, throw out a first pitch for the Rafters. And I come from a very athletic family. Mm-hmm. I told my dad this, and he got so excited. And we're practicing. I get out there. And I've actually played on that field the Rafters play on. I went to school at East. And I went there and used to that field. I got on that diamond. I swear it was a billion miles away.
Right.
And I'd never thrown a baseball before in my life. And I got up there and I release. I felt great. I felt so good about it. And then I watched as the ball started to go way above the catcher. And I don't remember I wish I remember his name. The catcher's name. I had to look it up afterwards. He was 5'11", because in that moment he was 7'5". He caught the ball. I don't know how he saved me, because it looked bad. I would have been in the Carl Lewis situation right there. But it's one of those things where you get a chance to do these things for your community, and it's so much fun. We've talked about this before, that anxiety is not necessarily a bad thing. It lets you know that you're invested, that you care.
Mm-hmm.
Was that similar, that feeling that you have for the national anthem, mm-hmm. is it anywhere similar to maybe your first time on stage or other moments on stage?
For sure, yeah. And I've told that. Actually, I got to talk to a couple of younger up-and-coming performers at the Hoozles event too, and I kind of jumped right into old man mode where I'm giving them advice like, hey, you're just getting started. It's okay to be nervous. And I would tell them stories about how, for many of my first shows, I would have to be in the bathroom for half an hour before the show or whatever, it's like, because even what are now regular small routine gigs to me felt hugely important.
It's been a while since you joined us. Actually, I was looking it up, and April 9th was the last show when you were with us last, Jordan. Do appreciate that, and we're getting closer and closer to making you our house band. So every time you join us, we're a little bit closer to that. I don't know if you read that in the contract, but that's what it is. Have your lawyer look at that. But I want to get an update. I want to see how your summer was. What's been new with you?
Well, I had a lot of eventful things this summer, so... this past year, I actually got a booking agent, which sounds important, but it's a wonderful person who is providing a great service. Shout out to Judy Van Gilder, Northern Lights Entertainment, and she books artists all over the state, and just kind of has connections with a lot of venues all over central northern Wisconsin, all over the place. So I played a heck of a lot of gigs this summer and traveled all over the state. Which was really great. And some of them, my family would come with me and we'd make a day trip of it or a weekend of it. And it's like, okay, let's go here, stay at a hotel for the night, go visit the zoo the next day or whatever. So a lot of gigs this summer. And then the other, big piece of news was that I was formerly the lead singer of a local band called Save Point, and that came to an end this year. So now I'm moving on to the next phase, focusing on my solo stuff, and kind of also been collaborating with some different artists locally here just in the past 6 months. So we'll see what comes to fruition from that. But it's been a good, very busy, eventful summer.
How have you been? And I'm really happy to hear that, man. That's cool. It, especially the idea when you can combine your passion with your family, and they can be along for the ride and those things. That's a win-win, the definition of a win-win, really.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been enjoying, because I've never been a part of something like that where you're in a band and you're not a part of it anymore for whatever the reasons are. But to me, as a layman, thinking of something like that, or even thinking of shows I've been a part of and when they end and they wrap up and it can be melancholy. There's a part of me that is happy to have my afternoons back or my nights back and stuff. There's little things like that. But then there's the other part of, I miss seeing my cast members or something. You get through that process. How are you at the end of that? Where are you now with that?
Sure. Yeah, the band, we wrote some great music together, and I learned a lot from those guys, and I'm very grateful for that time. So definitely got to improve my chops in a lot of ways, gain some musical knowledge, songwriting knowledge, music theory, all those things from those guys. Yeah, when it came to an end, though, definitely there was a feeling of relief, actually, yeah, mm-hmm. where it was like, okay, I don't have to. It's a little bit like a job and a marriage all in one, and it's a lot of effort to keep it just functioning. Mm-hmm. So, there was a lot of relief when it came to an end, and some sadness, too. But there were some big things that happened this summer. Part of the way that the group ended up splitting up, unfortunately, was I wish I could say it was a calm, a peaceful way, but it was more like a scene out of a movie, actually. It was like, there's always that scene in those rock documentaries like Johnny Cash where the original band members that he's playing with all kind of turn to him and go, he gets some taste of something, maybe success or something. And the band all goes, Johnny Cash, you dirty dog, you wouldn't be here if it weren't for us, you know?
Yeah.
And it was kind of one of those things, unfortunately. And so it was surreal. It was very surreal. And actually in the moment when we broke up, when the band kind of all looked at me and basically gave me that kind of feedback, I was kind of outside myself in the moment. Mm. I said, wow, this is really trippy.
Yeah.
But for a while I had been the sort of, how Aaron Rodgers couldn't decide if he wanted to come back to the Packers the last few years.
Sure.
I was that guy in our band, though. I kept being the one who's like, oh, I don't know, maybe we should think about doing other things. So in a way, like I said, it was kind of a relief.
Jesus walked into the sea. He's grown tired of his life. And Daddy, he don't care about me. And he ain't watching over us. In my eyes, I die a lane. In my lungs, I suffocate. In my veins, your blood still flows. In my heart, I can't let go. Jesus walked into the sea. He's grown tired of his life. Daddy, he don't care about me. And he ain't watching over us. And you can't drown me in your Sunday. Just 'cause your whole world is black. You know I ran right out your front door. I ain't never coming back. And in my eyes I die. In my lungs I suffocate. In my veins through and through. And in my heart I'll always love you.
I appreciate I just appreciate you in general, and, yeah. And I love talking with you, man. But one of the things, the reasons we do is because of the genuineness, the vulnerability, the honesty that you not only do with our interviews, but with your lyrics and that. So I really appreciate that answer. I also don't think that one of the things that we do with this show, certainly putting a spotlight on local artists and that, but I also think we get a chance to find out more about artists, about creatives.
Yeah.
And we're so used to that scene you're talking about. We're so used to that, but we don't have the kind of the thoughts inside a person's head or some of the things you just shared with us.
Sure.
I think that not only creates empathy more for our world and our artists and the creative worlds coming together and stuff, but it adds more to the show for us.
Yeah.
When we're hearing you play, these things come into effect. They mean more. Mm-hmm. I value my privacy quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of us do. Mm-hmm. But when you're a creative, you have to find a balance. You have to share. You don't get a real choice in that. Mm-hmm. And whether it's for you with your song lyrics or some of the answers you give us today, with us in radio, for Seth and I, it's sharing parts of our personal lives that we might not do with friends of ours sometimes, but we do on the air because that's how you build a bond.
Yeah.
Building that bond with the audience. For you, does it begin with the lyrics? Does it begin with you getting on that stage? How does that something that you built?
Yeah, definitely. When I do sing an original song, I think it's very palpable the difference between how it feels to the audience and how I'm coming across between that and a cover song. And I'm not always aware of it, but they tell me that they can tell the difference.
Yeah.
So even at Hoozles, for example, I sang an original song and I did a couple originals, and I was so happy that some of the other artists that performed in that, Kyler Cuzio being one of them, I can't remember who did the first original song, but whoever it was, and they got a good response from the judges and from the audience, then I remember in my mind, because I hadn't decided what my ratio of originals to covers would be during this performance, and I went, okay, they just gave me authority to go out there and do my thing, because, the audience definitely responds, and they tell you that they can feel the difference in your passion for that music when it's your own music.
Very cool.
For sure. Yeah.
We're speaking with Jordan Bain, and we're going to talk some more with Jordan, but we're going to hear Jordan when we come back. Let him play some music, and we'll get in some questions and plenty more right here on Director's Cut.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
There's a bluebird at the window. I can hear the song she's singing. All the jewels in heaven, they don't look the same to me. I just wait the tides to turn till I learn to leave the past behind. It's only lies that I'm living. It's only tears that I'm crying. It's only you that I'm losing. I guess I'm doing fine. I guess I'm doing yellow roses in the graveyard. I got no time to watch them grow. Now I bade a friend farewell, and I can do whatever pleases me. It's only lies that I'm living. It's only tears that I'm crying. It's only you that I'm losing. So I guess I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Press my face up to the window. See how warm it is inside. See the faces I've been missing. Yeah. Missing all this time, missing all this time. It's only lies that I'm living. It's only tears that I'm crying. It's only I'm doing fine. Guess I'm doing fine.
Welcome back to Director's Cut here at WFHR. Seth and James and our good friend Jordan Bain with us again. Jordan, appreciate the time.
You bet.
Jordan, our last interview, as I mentioned earlier, was April 9th of 2023. You're our first interview of 2024, which is kind of fun for us and pretty cool. You did such a great job. I'm going to ask you the same questions again because you knocked them out. So why change it? I mean, why should I ask them different questions? No. I did want to actually ask you a couple of things. I just had some thoughts on and I wanted to get your feelings on. But before we go too far, we were just talking about the summer and everything. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to ask a follow-up on that. Did you have any interesting stories, anything wild happened this summer?
Yeah, so I had some big experiences this summer. Kind of the biggest gig of my life, and it was what was the straw that broke the camel's back with the band, actually. So what happened was I had made a contact about a year ago. I did a lot of the outreach, band booking, sales prospecting for the band, social media, graphic design. Stuff like that. And I had made a contact with a gentleman who did booking for the VIP club at the Alpine Valley Music Amphitheater, where the big touring acts come from. And what they do is, he explained to me, the VIP tickets are for people who pay a little bit more so they can have box seats, and then they get a premium experience where they can hang out in this club before and after the main act that plays there. And Tom Petty has played there, Pearl Jam has played there. Grateful Dead.
Yeah, big venue, yeah, very nice.
And the VIP ticket holders can hang out in this VIP club while the parking lot clears out and they can have some cocktails. And he provides just some background music from a local artist who maybe can play similar music to the main artist. So I made contact with this person, and it turned out that he got a hold of me about a possible gig. And then time went by, and I reached out to him, and I didn't hear back. And I thought, oh, he ghosted me. He found somebody else. That's fine. And I had said, you know, my band can come and play. I can play solo. We could do a two- or three-piece, whatever. And he finally got back to me a week and a half before this actual thing, out of the blue, and said, are you free to play before the Outlaw Music Festival? Now, the Outlaw Music Festival was Willie Nelson on his 90th birthday. Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin. singing with Alison Krauss, and then Trampled by Turtles, the excellent bluegrass band.
From Duluth, Minnesota, my stomping grounds.
So he reached out and says, "Can you play? It's in a week and a half." Now, I should mention that everybody in my band are all parents, we were all dads. It's hard to just drop your life and go play a gig. So I said, well, for sure, some of us can come. I don't know if it'll be the full band or not. And he said, well, I don't know if we really want the full band because the stage isn't that big. So probably just one or two of you. And I said, okay. And he basically said, you can come by yourself or bring a person or two from your band if you want. The pay is the same either way. I said, oh, that's all very interesting. Okay, let me think about this. I thought about it for a day. I tried to talk about it with some people around me to think about how I should think about it, how I should pose it to the band. And I'm like, it's okay that it's not for all of us. They'll understand. And so when I brought that up, this was that thing I told, the slight taste of success. Because it wasn't actually the biggest gig in the world. But it feels like it is when you're, because you're
surrounded
like,
by all these, legends, right?
Yeah. But we're not, weren't going to be on the same stage as them. You weren't going to meet them.
Still.
But you're going to be however many yards away from them.
Very close.
And you can kind of say, I opened for Willie Nelson, technically. So anyway, so that was it. And that's what caused the band to break up. They kind of it didn't get handled well. And at the end of the day, I did go and play that gig by myself. So when you said melancholy, I cannot express to you enough how cathartic and wild of an experience it was, because I went and I played this gig by myself, knowing full well that I could have had at least a band member or two with me. It was amazing. I mean, this was Robert Plant especially. They did a rendition of When the Levee Breaks.
Oh,
and my favorite song. I cried. I cried tears of release from all this stuff, because the band had broken up just like a week prior.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was just a beautiful and also sad and also just a lot of emotions mixed together.
Going down the road feeling bad. I'm going down the road feeling bad. Going down the road feeling bad. And I ain't gonna be treated this way. They got me in jail on my knees. They got me in jail on my knees. Got me in jail on my knees. And I ain't gonna be treated this way. Ole, adi ole, le, adi ole, le, adi ole, adi ole, ole, ole. A $2 shoe fits my feet. A $2 shoe fits my feet. $2 shoe. Fits my feet, and I ain't gonna be treated this way. They feed me on cornbread and cheese. They feed me on cornbread and cheese. Feed me on cornbread and cheese, and I ain't gonna be treated this way. The ole.
I think there's something actually relatable about that. I found myself, I bet Seth was thinking of something like similar, where we've been in similar situations, but none of us have necessarily been in a situation just like that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As now this is some months later and everything. Mm-hmm. How are you now with it? Because in the moment you're mentioning, it's got to be melancholy. It's the biggest gig of your career. And at the same time, you don't have your guys up there. There's that part of the factor. So you can't completely just embrace it and completely enjoy it. Your heart's hurting. At the same time, you got to be enjoying it somewhat. Because you're in a performer, you're creative, this is your world. How are you now with all of that? The memory.
Yeah, no, it was very beautiful, it was very special. I did not meet any of these performers. They did not see me perform, nor did any of their record label scouts find me and go, you're signed, here's your record deal.
I told you Jordan wouldn't be an end to getting Alison Krauss. I tried to tell you this.
That's what I thought maybe could have happened, but no, it was a cool experience. I did have a couple. So at the end of the night, I played one of my original songs that I wrote about my son, and there was this couple there. actually, when I was when I told them I was going to play an original song, this couple that had been watching me for the night said, "It had better be good because I'm going to judge your music," the lady said.
Wow.
But then they slow danced to this song that I wrote about my son, and they were parents themselves. Mm. And she came up and she had tears in her eyes at the end of the night and said, "That was just as good as any of the music we heard tonight down there from the Legends." And I was like, okay, well, that's good enough for me. That's was a good thing to take away from the
absolutely
night. So it was really cool. Yeah, like I said, cathartic. And that was the big experience. Aside from that, I played gigs all over Wisconsin this summer that were really amazing, including one where the power went out, and I just kept playing. This was in Wisconsin Dells, and the power went out, and the people at the bar didn't want to leave, so I played with no amplification of any kind, just unplugged, and it was like a kumbaya moment of all of us in the dark.
That's so cool.
Yeah, nice. a couple cool moments this summer for sure.
When it comes to these experiences, how much do they play into the writing process for you?
Yeah, well, for sure with the band breakup this past year, I can tell you there's some music that's going to come from that. I mean, that's unavoidable. Mm-hmm. And frankly, breakup music is the best music. It just is.
So there's something about Taylor Swift.
So there will be some songs coming up. You know, there's been lyrics and some song ideas coming from that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just everything, all these life experiences all build into the songwriting process for sure.
I asked that because one of the questions that I had thought of was we focus so much on this show of the positives, and that's a big part of what we like to do around here, not just at the Director's Cup at WFHR. Mm-hmm. But I think we're almost doing a disservice if we don't ask certain questions. So I'm curious about a couple of things. For one, what is your least favorite part of being a musician?
Requests. I hate it. Because and the truth is, and I really would like to more bluntly say this to everybody, but you don't want to be rude. So the nice thing you say when someone asks a request is, "That's a really good suggestion. I don't know that song, but I'm going to learn it for next time. So stop out and see me again, and I'll bust it out for you next time." I won't really.
Right. But no, that's a great responsibility for people out there.
But for everyone out there, the reason you don't walk up and ask a request is they're not a jukebox. You have a jukebox in most bars. Mm-hmm. If you wanted a jukebox, just do that. And then the bar doesn't have to pay a single red cent to a live performer. Mm-hmm. So most of us don't know that many songs. Some of us are good enough we can pull it up on our iPad or whatever and just play the chords and get through it. But in general, I would say please don't do that to most artists.
That's a great answer. I wouldn't have thought of that. Yeah, one of the first MC gigs I did was the 4th of July street dance here in Rapids. Mm-hmm. And Boogie Nyoyos, yeah, I remember them. Mm-hmm. They're a great band, great local band for a long time. Introduced them, and I'm coming off the stage, and they are in through like just wrapping up their first song. Last chords are playing, and there's a guy in the crowd just starting to scream, "Freebird!"
Freebird. It's that guy. Actually happened.
Yes, it literally happened.
Oh my gosh. That was just a joke.
Now, I hadn't been around a lot of this stuff before, and as I was watching, I wish I could remember his name, but the lead singer for Boogie and the Yo-Yos, he's up there, and he's like, "Yeah, man, yeah, it's coming up, man." And he just kept on telling him, "It's coming up, man." They never played Freebird. We'll get to that, man. And they'd go into another song. I thought that was a great response.
That's brilliant.
I like yours. I like that form of it too. It's also something interesting too, I think, as fans, for mm-hmm. us to take in and us to consider when we're taking in these shows and everything. The jukebox comment, I think, is a great comment. And I don't begrudge people, you know, having their feelings or something mm-hmm. like that. I've been on stage plenty of times and had that little old lady comment and a line that I say, and I'm, you know, that kind of stuff, or improv. God, at Second City, we have it happen all the time where, you know, people in the crowd are trying to interact with us and everything. Mm-hmm. But that's part of what we love about this, too. It's the kind of yin and yang of it, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, it is kind of funny that it doesn't apply to any other form of performance. Like, no one's, if you're on the stage, right. no one's like, "Do Othello," or something like that. Or yes. "Do Hamlet."
That would be weird.
"Hamlet, go."
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Actually, I almost wish it would happen.
Poor Yorick.
Yes.
To be or not to be. Oh,
you're in the middle of Oklahoma and also just bust into some Shakespeare. But that's a great point. Yeah, that doesn't
it only
happen
applies
in other jobs.
To this one thing. You know,
there's no stand-up comedian up there. Hey, do Why the Chicken Cross the Road. You know, that doesn't happen.
Do this Dave Chappelle joke. Oh,
yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating point. Mm-hmm. I never thought of that. That's interesting.
Come sun and open your eyes.
world's gonna give you a surprise. The air on your skin may feel cold, but warm is the heart that you hold. And just know that all I'll do is keep loving you. All I'll do is keep loving you. Sun, feel the sun on your skin. And remember your purpose within. The world may seem callous and cruel, but trust, you are nobody's fool. And just know that all I'll do is keep loving you. All I'll do is keep loving you. And when this world has gone astray, trust through it all, our love will remain. And when this darkness closes in on you, you hold in your heart a candle of truth. And just know that all I'll do is keep loving you. All I'll do is keep loving you.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Congressional leaders have agreed on a $1.6 trillion spending deal to avoid a partial government shutdown. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
The deadlines in order to keep the government open are coming up very quickly, both on January the 19th and February 2nd. The agencies are divided between those two dates.
Lawmakers are calling for more transparency on whatever landed Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin in the hospital. CBS's Scott McFarlane has more from Capitol Hill.
Bipartisan leaders of the House Armed Services Committee say they have concerns about how this disclosure of the secretary's condition was handled and how his duties were delegated during the hospitalization.
And the Golden Globes are underway now on CBS. A couple big awards have been handed out so far. Daveine Joy Randolph winning Best Supporting Actress for The Holdovers. Robert Downey Jr. snagged Best Supporting Actor for Oppenheimer. And Beef just picked up two acting awards for miniseries. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Badgers win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers pace themselves to an 88-72 win over Nebraska at the Kohl Center. Tyler Wall with 17 points for Wisconsin. Head coach Greg Gard says he was proud how the Badgers played the Cornhuskers on defense.
I thought we did a lot of good things. You know, and they hit some tough shots, and they hit 12 threes, you know, and I thought some of them, you know, they're a team that scored a lot of points, too. And the biggest thing with them was trying to minimize the attempts. I want them not to be able to get them off.
They'll take on Ohio State on Wednesday. Another loss on the road for number 7th-ranked Marquette. They lost at Seton Hall 78-75. The Golden Eagles host Butler Wednesday night. UWM with a win over Detroit Mercy 84-61. NBA, the Bucks lose again, this time to the Houston Rockets 112-108. Giannis Antetokounmpo with 48 points, but a bad night for Damian Lillard, who had just 18. Milwaukee heading home now after this road trip. They host the Utah Jazz Monday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Wisconsin Rapids weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, look for mostly cloudy skies and a low near 23. Clouds on your Monday, breezy, 33. And still breezy for Monday night with some snow likely. An inch or so of accumulation and a low of 29. Tuesday, more snow, a few more inches possible.
It's 30 at our studios.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're speaking with Jordan Bain. And Jordan, just a couple of other things I wanted to know. In this kind of realm, what do you believe are your strengths as a musician?
Diversity is definitely one. So when I do play my live gigs, and to anybody who decides to come out and see me locally here, I can do Britney Spears one song and Metallica the next, and Hank Williams Sr. after that, and Weezer after that. And range and diversity. I can do a lot of genres and have it not feel too weird or jarring. And there's a few artists that can do that I really appreciate. Weezer, for example, put out a covers album, The Teal album, where they do I Don't Want No Scrubs by TLC, and then they do Happy Together by the Turtles and Paranoid by
Black Sabbath.
Yeah. And it didn't feel weird because they're that kind of band that can go in all those directions. So.
Okay. Now this is going to feel like a job interview. What about your weakness? Do you have a weakness that you're improving on, that you're working on?
Probably my guitar playing. That's always an easy answer to give. I'm a chord strummer, but I'm not a guitar soloist. And I've paid attention to other bands and other artists where it's good to know what those weaknesses are, because I was watching an interview with Metallica, and I didn't know this, but James Hetfield doesn't really play any of the solos. It's always Kirk Hammett from Metallica. Yeah, he's the guitar solo guy, and they know that within the band.
Mm-hmm.
But they have different strengths. James Hetfield is the songwriter, and that's how a lot of songwriters are. A lot of us just play the chords because it's getting you to an end. It's like, I'm strumming these chords so I can put the lyrics in there so I can express myself. My goal was never to be the quickest ambidextrous person in the world. So, yeah, my guitar playing can always get better.
not everybody has to be Yingwing Malmsteen or however you say his name. Isn't he the fastest?
I want to. Something you said there, Jordan, was really fascinating. The whole difference why you don't see a lot of songwriters are like, I mean, there's a few, you think of like a Jimi Hendrix, although Jimi Hendrix did a lot of covers too. he was more interested in playing guitar than he was at writing songs or singing like that. But it's the thing you said about expressing, finding a way to express yourself. That's the most important thing. I've never thought about that with a songwriter, but that makes all the sense to me.
Yeah, who was it? The Ramones. Whoever, I can't remember the guy's name. Yeah, whoever. A lot of those punk rockers. It was like, they just learned like three chords.
Yeah.
And it was the same three chords. If you listen back to the Ramones and stuff like that, it's like these same three chords over and over again because that's all they needed.
Yep.
So then it's like, okay, I just need to be able to sing over whatever I can do.
Johnny Ramone was the guitarist, and he was famous for his hatred of guitar solos. He hated them. And that's why, he liked the same three chords. That's all he cared about. That's all he wanted to do.
Yep.
I asked those questions, Jordan, because we're auditioning for, our house gig now. We've got a number of different people in the year or so we've been doing this mentioning to us what they like about the show and everything. And one of the things that I've heard overwhelmingly is how much people get not only inspiration, but for lack of a better word, direction. And encouragement from hearing from our artists, from our people that join us. So it's great to hear your successes and your wins and everything. I want to make sure to also note these, not struggles necessarily, but things that you're building on and working on so that those artists out there that are just starting out or just picking up a guitar or something like that, they understand it doesn't just happen overnight. No. It takes work, and that's appreciated, your honesty with that stuff. Let's see here. We got time for one or two more questions, Seth?
Yeah, go
for it. Okay, all right. So two more questions for you, Jordan. One, what is your process for dealing with anxiety before stage? You've touched on this a little bit already, but you got my brain going with that. Do you have a ritual? Do you have something you do? You mentioned that you're in the bathroom for a little while before some of those early gigs.
Yeah. All right. So, with the band, I tried to institute, and it never kind of came to be, but I tried to institute some kind of pre-show ritual that we would do where it would be like everybody put their fists together and 1, 2, 3, go band, or something like that. But that never really happened. I do remember there's two different answers here. With the band and solo, first of all, there's your setup time. You have to drive to the gig, because when you're starting off, it's not like you have roadies. You have to drive yourself to this gig, get there in a timely fashion, get your stuff set up, sound check. If you don't leave yourself any time between that and when you start playing, it's just a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. If you had just driven, let's say, 2 hours, you're setting up your gear, and now go, and you're playing music. It's just a lot to handle. So my best advice is to give yourself at least some downtime, to just go walk around the bar, say hi to a couple people, get a drink, look around, get a feel for what this place is like. Mm-hmm. That helps a lot. Repetition with anything. So anything that makes you nervous won't after a while if you just keep doing it. So any job you've ever done, the first time you have to talk to a customer, you're nervous because you don't know the product you're talking about, or if you're a cashier, whatever it is, your first jobs, you're nervous just talking to people, just doing stuff. But then you do it again and again and again, and it's not so scary anymore. So I do not have the bathroom problem anymore before my shows anymore, because it is just like showing up for work. It's like I show up, I do get appreciation for like stand-up comics too. It's like you start just noticing trends and patterns, and you show up and you kind of feel like crowd control is a real thing. You show up and you're like, I have to assert myself here. I'm going to take control of this situation and show them what's up. You start getting confidence, but it takes time. Just reps is kind of the answer.
It's great answers, man. Yeah. And also applicable to just about anything you do in life. I think that's really cool about that. And you're so right about it. Wanted to touch on one last thing. Usually we ask our last question to our guests. I like to ask, if you could have coffee with any historical figure, and you knocked that out the park the last time you joined us and everything. So I wanted to I racked my brain trying to come up with something more creative, something different than that. So, Jordan, if you could play with any musician in history, current or otherwise, who would you like to play with? Very different question. Incredibly different. Very creative on my part. I'm buying him some time.
And you may or may not have coffee involved. I mean, it could happen. You never know.
Yeah, right.
Please say a barista. You'd like to work with a barista. Just to mess with me.
That's hilarious. I think the last time we talked about, I talked about people who are alive, and I said Paul McCartney, because he's still alive. So I guess I'll say, I'm just going to be boring and say John Lennon. It's like just another Beatle.
Why not?
You know, yeah. It's like, yeah, I would, yeah, I could hang out with Paul while he's still alive. And then if I dip into the nether realm, I can go hang out with John Lennon.
Perfect. It's perfect. And you can punch your Beatles punch card.
Yeah, exactly.
You got two of them.
I'll get all of them.
There you go. But there, in all seriousness, I think that that answer, and we've had a number of Beatles come up with that when we asked that question and everything. John, Paul, I think George has even come up. Ringo did once.
If I remember correctly, yeah.
And it's one of those things where it makes sense when you hear it. Like, it's a funny answer in some ways because, you know, we see it coming maybe or you know, oh, sure, that of course, it's an obvious answer. But it's an obvious answer for a reason because these guys were so amazing and their music was so incredible. And the further we get away from it, I'm afraid that we lose sight of that sometimes. And I think it's almost on us, the younger generations, the younger fans, and I'm calling us younger for maybe the last time any of us will ever be called that.
Be called younger,
To keep that stuff going. When you give answers like that, when Seth and I play Beatles music on the radio or that kind of thing, I do think that it all adds up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, younger me might have said Kurt Cobain, but now as I get older, and he passed when he was 27. So I'd be meeting up with a 27-year-old person with deep addiction problems. And I want to say that my mind would be blown by what I would get from that experience, but I actually don't know that I would.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
He was an amazing artist, but like, yeah, you got to think about, okay, what kind of conversations would we be having here and stuff like that.
Jordan, it's been a blast having you join us. Thank you so dang much for being here, man. We've really appreciated the time. Again, you're going to have to come back. I apologize, but it's kind of your own fault. You did a great job, and we love the music you played. But thank you for the time, brother. If people want to hear your music, if they want to follow along with it, what your journey and what you're up to, how can they do that?
Yeah, for now, it's facebook.com/JordanBainMusic. And keep an eye out this upcoming year for some solo stuff to get released on Spotify as well.
Nice.
Very cool. When that happens, let us know. We'll let them know.
Absolutely.
We'll do.
Cool. Thank you, Jordan. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Again, just when all hope was lost, she came into my world. My seas are blue, your earth are green, simple and sweet, just like a dream. The setting sun, I cannot run. This smoking gun, you are the one. I I give you the sum of all my love, of all my love till kingdom come. Now all those yesterdays have vanished in a haze, old memories now obscured by the beauty of today. Some days I'll save you on my steed, and some days I'll tie you to the tracks. Oh, but you know that when your feet begin to bleed, I'll carry your weight upon my back. The setting sun, I cannot run. This smoking gun, you are the one. I will be done. I give you the sum of all my love.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives.
It's matchingdonors.com. Matchingdonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit matchingdonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. Matchingdonors.com.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.